Hello, Larimer County Republicans. Welcome to the next episode of Larimer County Republican Radio. I'm Jason Van Tatenhove.
And I'm Jerry Patterson.
Well, this week we start off with an interview with County Commissioner Lou Gator, who is kicking off his new reelection campaign for 2014. We had a chance to go down to the county building this last week and talk with Lou about his what's going on and what he's going to be doing with this upcoming election. And here's his interview. Hello, Republicans. This is Jason Van Tatenhove, and I'm here with County Commissioner Lou Gator, Larimer County Commissioner. You are in which district?
District 1, Jason.
Okay. And Lou is about to kick off his next campaign coming up here next week. And we want to talk a little bit about that and kind of give you a chance to talk about what you got coming up.
Thank you, Jason. So you're right. I'm looking forward to announcing my reelection campaign coming up here real soon. In January of 2010, the Larimer County Republican Central Committee appointed me to fulfill the last year of Kathy Reynolds' previous term, and then I was elected to my own four-year term in November of 2010 and sworn into that in January of 2011. And so in 2014, I have to run again in November 2014 to get another general election term. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. And so far, you're unopposed?
So far, I'm currently unopposed. I do not know of anybody who has announced an intention or filed an intention to run for this office, either as a primary from a Republican point of view or in the general election from a Democrat or independent point of view.
Excellent. And what would the deadline be for something like that to happen?
The deadline's actually a little ways out yet. In the primaries, you have to win at the county assembly, and actually I believe you can nominate from the floor of the county assembly, although in practice people usually get a little bit ahead of that.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved with politics here in the county in the first place. You know, what's your background here? How did you get started with everything?
Jason, I grew up in a family that was politically connected. My parents were very involved with Democrat politics. However, in the Reagan years, I switched and became a Republican, never looked back. It fit my Christian values much better. In 2000, I had been thinking about running for county commissioner. And then, as many of you know, I had a fight with cancer in 2009, which got me putting things off. And in late 2009, that had come to a close. We decided I'd gone through a stem cell transplant. Things were doing better. I was feeling better. And then Kathy, out of the blue, announced that she was going to retire a year early. And that opened a door for me to at least think about it, because I realized at this point in time, I can consider a run, and it puts me in a different position going into a general election. And as you know, I won that appointment, that vacancy election in January of 2010, and then ran a full campaign in 2010 that year. And I did pretty good. I felt pretty healthy. It was nice, and I enjoyed it.
Now, were you involved with the county board at all, the executive board before that? How did you?
I'd been a vice chair in Larimer County politics, boy, back when Cheryl Olson was chairman of the party. I was one of her vice chairs. I'd been a district captain before that, an area coordinator. So I've been a bonus member. I've been involved with Republican Party politics for a long time.
So really worked yourself up from the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay. We definitely have had a turbulent year here with the state legislature and everything that's been going on there. What are your thoughts as far as what's happened there and kind of some of the things that may be affecting us coming up in Larimer County with some of these changes that we've seen from the lawmakers down in Denver?
Well, obviously, I'm disappointed with what the legislature has put out in Denver. I think the gun laws have gone too far. I've said that before, and I'm disappointed with how that has happened. I appreciate that our sheriff is challenging these things in court, and I agree with his position on that, taking and challenging these things in the court and seeing if the Supreme Court will take a stand and overturn these. Having said that, I've heard it said many times, elections have consequences. And when we elect a legislature like we did, we can't be too surprised that they're going to put together the type of agenda that they did. And the trick is we need to return balance back to our legislature. And I've seen Republicans go a little too far the other way at times as well. And so I really wasn't all that surprised that the Dems, when they had their opportunity, controlled both houses in the governor's mansion, that they jammed a really liberal legislature and a liberal agenda down the throats of the Colorado voters and down the throat of the governor to some extent.
Absolutely. And we are seeing things change. You know, we've got the recall elections happening, and you know, there's definitely a lot of good movement happening. And I think there's a real grassroots effort right now happening organically where people are getting active and getting involved.
Right.
One of our big pushes here with what we're doing with Larimer County Radio is really trying to get people active and involved. And you know, how would you best suggest people that have had enough. They're tired of seeing what's happening here. What's the best way for them to get plugged in the county and really get involved with things?
There are a lot of things. You can get involved in the county in terms of boards and commissions. If you don't like what's happening at some level, find a candidate that you like or that you support and get behind them, support them. I think in terms of the state legislature, it's the same thing. Get out, vote, talk to your neighbors, start educating and informing people, and then get behind those candidates, whether it's state or local. You'd be surprised how, as a local elector, we have a lot of, as a county commissioner, we have a lot of impact and influence over your day-to-day lives. We make the land use decisions. We talk about a lot of things that impact you, where you live here right now, much more so than things that happen at a federal or even at a state level. And yet, when we go to run, people often don't think about those races. They don't think about, hey, I could give money to my county commissioner or my city councilman or my school board member. You're busy focused on the state and the national issues and not realizing that these local people are ones who affect your day-to-day lives.
Absolutely. And getting started here in the county, I think it's kind of a bottom-up approach where, you know, mm-hmm. you've got to start locally to really affect any sort of real change, even on a national level. It has to start here.
It's incredible the voice that your local legislators have at both the state level and at the federal level. The fire, getting emergency watershed protection funding for our fire victims is something that I, as a county commissioner working in concert with one of the El Paso County Fire County Commissioners, was able to go to D.C. and work with our legislators to make that happen. And the legislators were great. They were fun to work with. They crossed parting lines to work together with us to take care of the true needs of the citizens in their districts as well as our districts.
And we've got some great state legislators. I mean, Vicki Marble, Kevin Lundberg. I mean, they're our local lawmakers here. And they just, you know, again, these are activists that got involved, that got, you know, ran for election, and they won. And they're really making some differences.
And that's a challenge. You've just got to get out. You got to get involved. You've got to run. You've got to meet people from your side of the aisle. And sometimes you got to make friends with people on the other side of the aisle. Sometimes you'll have to hold your nose to get something done. Most of the things, however, that we do at any level of government really aren't partisan. We're mostly Americans.
Right. And we've got to find a lot more unity. I mean, that's just, we've got to learn to work together to affect real change.
That's one of our big challenges as Republicans is we can get very frustrated and upset with what the Democrat legislature did. And but we have to stop and realize that instead of getting mad, let's get some people in there with some good sense to back some of these things off. And let's find a balance that all Coloradans can live under.
Absolutely. And kind of touching on that subject, you know, there are a lot of people who have been disenfranchised. We are our neighbors over in Weld County. We've got this movement going on with the 51st state where they're trying to secede. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know some of the county commissioners over there.
I know the county commissioners over in Weld County, right? I know some of them, and I know they're frustrated by what's gone on. I respectfully think that's not the best way to change things. Realistically, if you stop and think, I look at it two ways. If it happens, and especially I as a Larimer County citizen, if Larimer County chooses not to join them, if that happens, then what you've done is you've diluted the conservative influence in the Colorado legislature, and things will get even worse. If we thought they were bad now, just imagine what would happen if the Democrats were able to elect a very liberal governor. I mean, I've heard a lot of people frustrated with John Hickenlooper, but think if John Hickenlooper, if they didn't have to worry about somebody who had the conservative draw that John Hickenlooper had, then we could have some real liberal legislatures, and then the state gets to be a very unpleasant place to live. We become a lot more like New York and California.
Yeah, yeah, and that's no place we want to be going. You know, I think the whole thing with Weld County is just indicative of people feeling like they're no longer being represented, their values are no longer being represented, and again, it all comes down to trying to make that change. We've got to get active. We can't give up hope.
People are frustrated, and the best thing that you can do, one of the things I have citizen meetings, I have four citizen meetings a month around the county. I have one in Wellington, I have one in Fort Collins, I have one in Red Feather Lakes, and then one that bounces between Livermore, Waverly, and Buckeye. And it's interesting that I've got really good turnout in the in the Wellington citizen meeting. Decent turnout in Red Feather Lakes, kind of goes back and forth, but the one that's really kind of soft is the Fort Collins citizen meeting. Right. And I had Representative Janal and Representative Fisher at my last Fort Collins citizen meeting, and I'll have Senator Kafalas at one, and then in my other meetings, because that one is inside the city limits, so that's within their districts, and my other citizen meetings, I'll have Representative Buck and Senator Lundberg at those meetings, mm-hmm. because that's in their district. So I try to bring the representatives that, you know, the state legislators that represent those people so they can hear from them. And yet it's funny how sometimes there's really low turnout.
Wow. You know, what do you attribute that to? You think it's just people in Fort Collins are just a little more disconnected?
Some of it's disconnected. Obviously, they're new meetings, so people have to get to learn about it. However, sometimes I think people are, and I understand it, you know, as conservatives, we get so focused on our day-to-day, I got to pay the bills and make money on the farm or in the office, that I don't really have time to get involved with local politics. And we have to realize that you have to at least come to one of these meetings or pick up the phone and call your representative, whether it's your county commissioner or your state legislator. We try to hear what our citizens want us to say. The Democrats are very good at getting their message out and talking to their legislators, and Republicans need to be better at that.
So if there is a citizen of Larimer County who wants to get a hold of you, has an issue they want to bring up with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The easiest way is just to go to our website, larimer.org, and go to Board of County Commissioners. There's a page. You can click on that. Look at my email right there. It is lgaiter, L-G-A-I-T-E-R, at larimer.org. And you can shoot me an email real easy there. You can either go on a website and you can type it in right there in the website, or you can directly email me either way. And you get the whole Board of County Commissioners at bocc@larimer.org, and that goes to all three of us.
Okay. And then you had, I'll mention these meetings, and they can find the calendar for those meetings on the Larimer
County website. It's on site, larimer.org. There's a calendar for the meetings and what's coming up. I also tweet them. I've got a Twitter account.
So what's your Twitter account? Go ahead.
My Twitter account should be Lou Gaiter.
Okay.
And then I also have a Commissioner Lou Gaiter Facebook page.
Okay.
And so friend that, or I guess like it, whatever. But
yep.
Go to that commissioner page. That talks about what I'm doing as a county commissioner. That's, I don't talk about my personal life there. I don't talk about my campaign there, but my commissioner life there. And then I'm working on one for my campaign, and I don't remember that one. I think it's Lou Gaiter for commissioner.
Okay, well, we'll get that up on the comments of the podcast and make sure people can get to that. So if people like what you're saying and want to get behind you and support you with this campaign, what are some of the best ways they can do that?
Well, again, the best way is to shoot me an email. We'll have my website, my campaign website's coming up, and that's lewgaiter.com. So we'll hopefully have that up by the time the pod site comes back up, reestablishing that. The biggest thing I need right now is volunteers. And then obviously campaigns cost money, so people can contribute. There's no limitations to how much you can give on a campaign. You can give $1, you can give $10, or if you're one of our more affluent members in society, you can give $10,000 or $100,000. That's a nice part of the county commissioner. There is no limitation on how much you can give. And if you want to just send $10 a month, everything helps. Everything is great.
And the best way to do that is going to be through the website?
Yeah, we'll get stuff through the website, and we'll have envelopes. And so I'm looking forward to that. We're working on that. So the website is, as of the date we're recording this podcast, the website is not up, but we're hoping to have it up by the kickoff.
Excellent. As far as volunteering for you, what would that look like? What would people expect to be doing there?
I'm looking for people that will help with anything from walking in parades to helping walk neighborhoods to helping organize when we have volunteer events. We're doing a friend maker event as our campaign kickoff. It's just getting out and helping us meet and greet, talk to people. We'll have people. I'm looking for people to help us with fundraising. If you know someone or I can put a party together, we do a lot of home parties. That's my favorite way to meet people. I do home meet and greets, people to help us get those set up. Just any kind of event. We've got all kinds. I've got people. One guy who's going to help us coordinate sign waving events as we get a little closer to the campaign, and we'll be looking for places to put campaign signs out. And like I said, the meet and greets—that's my favorite thing to do. It's a small meeting in people's homes. We'll go to a neighborhood and we'll have 10 people. I've had them with 30 or 40 people. So whatever works. I would love places to do that. Get out and around the county, and it's a chance to talk a little bit and then hear from your neighbors that have specific questions.
Excellent. Okay, well, one last thing. Let's talk about, just real quick, what you feel some of the most important issues you're going to be working on and tackling if elected. What do you feel are going to be some of these top issues that you guys are going to be working on?
Some of the big issues that I started, kind of kicked off when I was a county commissioner, as a brand new county commissioner, I got in, I saw that we could have been more efficient in how we did things in Larimer County government. And there was actually, they called it the lean team. It's actually what they actually, it was called something different, but ended up getting called the lean team. And I was responsible for getting that reestablished and started again. And as a result of that lean team, we have been able to save actually over $1 million a year in operating costs and different things that we've done within Larimer County without any reduction in service or anything else like that, just to become more effective and more efficient at how we did things. We had a couple of process management experts. We have two now. At the time, we had one. Working for Larimer County as employees who were not being really utilized, and now they're being heavily utilized. And I think a good example of that is our alternative sentencing department. They built a new building. We didn't have to ask taxpayers for any money on that. And in terms of how they set it up, they saved a ton of money and how they were operating that over what the original plans were. And it was so effective that right now we have departments from all over, and including other county elected officials, meeting with these people to find ways to improve the efficiency and the effectiveness of how they operate their departments. And that helps us with the bottom line dollars in Larimer County, so we're able to really, truly do more with less.
Excellent.
And then the other thing that I'm a huge advocate of that we're working to do is to build economic development in Larimer County. And classically, when people in government talk about economic development, they think about, okay, we're trying to get more jobs. And that translates to, how do I pay companies to come to our community? I'm not a big fan of that. I don't mind helping companies who are here stay here, like we did with the Agilent or Woodward Governor, and finding some incentives that we can do without hurting our county to get companies who have helped build this county to stay in this county. However, the big thing I look at is I see a resurgence of the mom and pop businesses, the small companies, the entrepreneur mindset, and I would like to see Larimer County be known as a county that is, like I've said, is Silicon Valley economics and Larimer County culture.
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely would love to see that as well, being a small business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, we've certainly seen our share of economic hits, yeah, as far as the job sector goes.
Right.
The whole center partner thing.
Center and Rocky Mountain Innovation. And actually, I said that wrong. I think the way I quoted it the first time was Silicon Valley Innovation, Larimer County culture. There's so many new innovation, like you just talked about, we can take advantage of and spur, and there's just some great opportunity. In fact, one of the things I know that we're working on is a investors summit / conference, if you will, in Estes Park, kind of a way to get venture capitalists and entrepreneurs together.
Excellent.
So that's in its infancy, but there's some great people that we're working with up there who'd love to see this happen. And what I like most about it is it's not my idea.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for your time. I think that pretty much wraps up what we needed to get covered. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on while we're here?
I think those are the big things. Thank you very much, Jason.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
Okay.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Jason, for doing that. Anytime we have candidates, they need our support. And just like Lou mentioned, there's lots of ways to do that. And it's something that we can all take part in. Realistically, you know, one of the things that Lou touched on was just the fact that, you know, sometimes it's really hard to be involved. Not just as conservatives, but, you know, as conservatives, a lot of times we're real busy with family and not that moderates and liberals aren't, they have families too. We all do. But we tend to focus on, you know, taking care of stuff at home and kind of getting wrapped up in that and hoping that our government processes will just work out. And that, as we can see, that's not been working out real well. So one of the things that I really appreciate that Lou stepped up and said here was, that kind of hit home with me is, you know, we need to get involved. We need to go to those meetings. We need to, just talk with our county commissioners, let them know what's going on. You know, what happens in the news a lot of times, Jason, is, we don't see the positive things that are going on from our elected officials. If everything's going smoothly, it's like with a lot of things where people do the hard work. If everything goes smoothly, no one notices.
Yeah. And I think one way we can kind of educate ourselves outside of the mainstream media is by getting plugged into alternative media. You know, I know that it's become a major part of what I do during the day is, you know, I do read the Colorado and I do read, you know, traditional news sources, but these days I also go to, you know, Peak Politics, I go to Grassroots Radio, I go to, any number of Colorado Complete alternative news sites where I'm able to get a lot more rounded information, including, you know, what we're doing here, you know, local podcasts that talk about, you know, go out and talk with some of these elected officials. We saw it this week with what was happening with Vicky Marble, a lot of just national bad coverage. I don't know if you had heard what happened there with, it was a committee on poverty and you know, minorities, and they were talking about diet actually, and it got blown way out of proportion. They actually misquoted Vicky as saying that she had talked about fried chicken, and of course, you know, immediately the racist card was played.
Immediately.
I almost feel like it was a setup, but it was just, she's taken out of context. And if you go by the the mainstream media, you know, we're all a bunch of racists at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's every single one. If you're white, you're racist. And it's unfortunate because I really feel, honestly, Jason, I really feel that great strides have been made in the last, you know, 10, 20 years, with race relations. And it, what's bizarre to me is we see the people that claim to be, probably the most interested supposedly in fixing the, you know, race issues that we have. We see those people are the ones that seem to be just, you know, stirring this the most, bringing this up and really trying to make an issue out of things that are really not issues.
Yeah, I mean, really, this had nothing to do with what was going on. She was misquoted. She was talking about diet and minorities and how, yeah, you know what, when you're in poverty, it's a vicious cycle, and there's a lot of times that you can't afford anything but the worst types of food. And that, unfortunately, lends itself to that vicious cycle. But right. She was taken completely out of context. But you're not going to get that from mainstream media, you know. So it's very important we find these alternative media outlets. You know, touching back on the Vicky Marvel thing, I want to try to get her on maybe later on, have her tell her side of the story to our listeners.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. So keep tuned in for that. Hopefully we'll get her on later on. You know, but getting back to the county now, you know, the county is doing some really good things and really has, you know, our three county commissioners have really strived to kind of lean up things.
Well, yeah, you know, we've had a rough go of it right here in Larimer County and across the whole country financially. You know, we've seen the huge economic downturn and we're still seeing pretty lackluster housing, you know, just the prices in housing and that sort of thing continue to go down. And one of the things that the county's looking at this year, in fact, Jason, is the fact that the revenue continues to go down for property taxes. And so that's a problem. You know, they've been hit with sales tax decreases year over year. Go ahead.
And then with the TIFs, I mean, the TIFs, that funding initiative really can take a big chunk out of the county's purses.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but it's just one thing after another, right? Sales taxes, property taxes, the property valuations have continued to decrease. You know, so there's lots of pressures on our county government, which is, you know, Lou mentioned, is really kind of the government that's closest, one of the governments besides the city government, school board, that sort of thing, that's closest to us, probably affects us the most. And they're getting kind of pinched from every side. Now, what I've seen, here's what I've seen personally, and the numbers to back this up is we've got some great county commissioners. You know, they're required to balance the budget, but how they do that or how they decide to do that is kind of up to them. And as Lou said, elections have consequences. Let's look at what our county commissioners have actually done. You know, since the downturn, they've tightened the belt and continue to tighten the belt. And in fact, this last year, they forecast another 2.25% decrease in take, if you will, from property taxes. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's significant when you're talking about $50, $60 million, which is kind of where the budget for the county falls. Here's what they did with that is they said, well, you know, what we want to do is, you know, we want to make sure we balance the budget and not on the backs of critical services. So they have this whole budgetary process they go through, which I think is great. It's all based on results, what's best for every citizen in the county, what's the most important to the least important. And then they work to find nooks and crannies in every single one of those departments, kind of like what Lou was talking about with that lean team. They do that. They go through every area and they try to find ways to reduce spending. Well, it turns out that the budget they ended up with for this year, Jason, was a net decrease of another 10%.
Wow. And that's during this downturn.
Right. Yeah. So they had to find, you know, ways to trim the belt anyway, but they're going above and beyond, right? Because they're losing, you know, it's going to be more than 2.25% because we also have sales tax decreases. I think they're forecasting kind of a flat sales tax. So hopefully, you know, the economy will at least stay where it is right now and they'll have that revenue to work with.
Now, wait a second. Stop. You're trying to tell me that there's actually an elected government right here in Larimer County that has a budget that they're sticking to and actually winning on, and they're still functioning. You know, the things, the world isn't ending. There is really.
Yeah. Well, the sky didn't fall. That's for sure. And yeah, you know, One thing I will say, and one thing that they've reported, and you can go out on their website and look at all those, but you know, one thing they've reported is our roads have taken a little bit of a hit, and there's lots of aspects to that as well. The monies that come in from the county, to a large extent, we don't have a lot of control over that. And we've seen a pretty significant decrease in that. But however, regardless, we still see that they're, you know, prioritizing transportation to try to keep our roads at least at what they call a C level or a B level, with some D level roads. So it's on a grading system, kind of like what we have in schools, right? We have A, B, C, and D, and we have very few F or A, B, C, D, and F. We have very few failing roads. Some we do have an increase in some of our maybe poorer categories of roads, and that's just one of the unfortunate aspects. But overall, I mean, most of our roads are at least C or better, and you know, that's just one aspect. Basically, across our entire county government, what we've seen is an at grade or in some cases better services at our county level, and we've seen a decrease in costs. They've looked for efficiencies. The county commissioners have looked for efficiencies. They've looked for places where they can just, you know, like I said, tighten the belt, and they've done that. And like I said, so not only, you know, one of the things they could do, right, is they could go to the voters in Larimer County, and they could say, look, we need more money. And they did that too. They went and said, we need a little bit more money. Our sheriff needs a little bit of funding. Mm-hmm. They did that back in 20, and the voters said no. And they said, okay, well, we'll figure out how to make it work.
And they did.
Their original, here's another thing that blows my mind. The original 2012 budget that they ended up with, that was proposed by their staff, et cetera, they cut another 5% out of that budget, which got us to the 10.5% decrease. So they're really trying to work hard to make sure our rainy day fund is secured, to make sure that our services that we need here in the county are secured. But at the same time, work to decrease the spending. One of the great things, and it's hard to say it's great, because what it is it's a decrease in county services a little bit, but it's also a little bit of unemployment. They're decreasing the number of full-time staff this year again, and they've done this year over year since we've had budgetary shortfalls. Well, it's not really, they haven't had shortfalls, but they've had to decrease the budget to hit their mark. They've been decreasing staff within the county.
But they're doing it as painless as possible, right? I mean,
that's right. Yeah. I mean,
going about it is a little different.
That's right. Yeah. They're not just going through and firing staff. What they've said basically for the most part is where we can, what we want to do is when people leave the county government as an employee, we're not going to backfill those positions. And this year, they're going to cut another 18.4 full-time equivalents that turns out to be, you know, 18 full-time staff and one almost half-time staff, basically. But the way that they're trying to do that, right, is humane as possible. We're not just going to go through and whack 18 jobs.
Right.
We're going to wait till people, you know, find time to retire or move on to another position here in the county or move or whatever, and not backfill those positions. So I just love the way that what Lou said earlier, I think struck home with me. And I say this a lot, you know, elections have consequences. And I think the way that you can see our county government operate with Republicans, front to back, taking care of making sure our budget is falling in line, making sure that, you know, our spending is prioritized appropriately, making sure the government does what it's supposed to do.
And it really blows my mind, because you listen to these guys out of Washington, D.C., and it just seems that they are unable to do these things. They're unable to stay within budget, to not have this huge deficit being run where it's just unsustainable. And yet here we are in a microcosm of that here in Larimer County. And it can work. It can really work.
Yeah, it turns out our principles might work after all, Jason. Gosh, who knew? I wish we could multiply that throughout the state and out to Washington, D.C. The way these guys work, I'm just really impressed with what they've been able to do with our county government. One of the things that they do is they kind of put out a core statement, and the core statement is they want Larimer County to be a place that's desirable to live, work, and play. And one of the aspects of that is health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that they say around that, and I love this, they want our members of the community to be healthy. Okay, well, sure. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But healthy and self-sufficient. Their goal is to not allow people to be dependent on the government. Sure, it can be a fallback position. It can be a temporary place where, you know, you might need to go to get some help. But the goal
is to get self-sufficiency in Larimer County for each and every one of its citizens. And that really is one of my core values is, you know, being able to do it yourself. And I think that's also a great vision to have. And you see it happening. I was talking with Lou after the interview. He was talking about a lot of these entrepreneurial incubators that they're working on trying to get brought into the county where we can get some you know, angel type investors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And really working on behind the scenes, trying to get the right environment together to really grow
employment, you know, it sounds like
entrepreneurship and small business. And that really is the engine of jobs.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we have some pretty big employers here in Larimer County, but they ebb and flow. The backbone is, and those provide a good tax base, those provide a good employment base, sure, all those things. But they can't do everything. And it's the small business owners that take up the slack. And what we're seeing here in Larimer County is hopefully an emphasis on bringing jobs here into the county. One of the things, you know, we're talking a little bit about the budget. One of the things I want to touch on is just, you know, we see a decrease in the amount of money coming in. Well, where does that money go? So more specifically, we've talked kind of in generalities about that. Well, what we see is, you know, so kind of an average home in Larimer County is, you know, what, $260,000, $270,000 for a house. And so you're going to be paying about $1,840 in property taxes if you own a house about that. About at that level, okay? Here's how that money breaks down. So of that $1,800, $480 of it, roughly, goes to your county government services. That's it.
Wow.
So, and that's their primary funding source, by the way. Outside of that, we have, the voters approved a few years ago funding for Foothills Gateway, which is a great
they do program. A lot of good.
Tons of good. It's been a great program. Love them. I know, some of the people that work there, and it's fabulous. It's been a great resource for people in Larimer County. And I think it's where that kind of service, if we're going to have something like that, should live. It's at the county level. And it's not all publicly funded either. I mean, the county pitches in, but a lot of private donors pitch in as well. And if you're looking for a place to put donation money, they're a great resource for us here in Larimer.
And they're working mostly with adults with developmental disabilities and
adults, children. Yeah. And it's great. And, my wife and I like to run in the flying pig run that they have every year. They have a run that they call the flying pig, and the weather's always terrible. And there's always tons of people out there, and it's great. We love it. It's a great 5K. And it's great just to reconnect with our community that way. So some of the other things, city government gets a chunk of that. They get about 200. So they get about half of what the county government gets. We have a library district, Poudre River Library District, I think it is.
Yep.
And they get a pittance. They get about $25 of that. The hospital health services districts get a little bit of that. Now here's the whopper. Okay. The school districts, so Thompson Valley,
right.
Estes, Park School District up in Estes, and Poudre, yeah, PSD, combined, you know, the chunk that they get of that is $1,056. Okay. So over half of your county taxes already is going towards education here in the county.
Yeah, and they want to, with this $1 billion tax increase, they really want to start making that be more.
Well, that's just it. You know, I mean, a lot of the taxes that we're already paying, and $2,000 is a significant chunk of money.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're trying to make ends meet here in Larimer County, times are a little bit tough, and, you know, you're already spending $2,000. Half of that, over half of that, is already going to your local school districts. And now, here we are, politicians, once again, telling us that, well, you know, we just don't have enough funding. We don't have enough. How much is enough?
I mean, they're talking about up to a 27% increase. It's just insane.
Increase in urine, you know, whoever, people, well, it's not going to be you and me paying the 27%, but the upper echelons, if you will, they're wanting to tax them at a higher rate. And it's just, you know, and that's where this $1 billion is coming from. It's not just income tax. They want to take income tax. They want to take sales tax. They want to take our excise taxes, and they want to redirect that money, almost half of that money that the state government takes in, back into our schools. On top of the fact that, you know, at least here in Larimer County, we're already given over half of what we pay in taxes for our property over to our schools.
Wow. Yeah. And it just, again, this bill coming up is just bad, bad news. And, you know, we've actually got a someone who knows quite a bit about it coming up here. Debbie Healy has been working with the
Independence Institute
out of Denver, think tank there. And they've got, they're working really hard to educate people as to what this bill is about. And with that, we're going to go into the interview. Hello, Republicans, and welcome back to Larimer County Republican Radio. This again is Jason Van Tatenhoff, and I'm here with Debbie Healy, who's on the Issues Committee with the Independence Institute. This is a grassroots issues committee with the Coloradoans against unions using kids as pawns. Not the best acronym, but it gets the point across. And we're here talking about Senate Bill 13-213, which is known as the $1 billion tax increase. And we've talked about this last couple shows and what a bad issue this is, and we've really got to work against it. And we're going to be seeing it as Amendment 66 show up on the ballot for voters here in November. And Debbie's here to fill us in a little bit and give us the scoop as to what's really going on with it and why it's such a bad thing for us.
Hey, Jason, thanks for having me on today, and I'm just really pleased to be able to be up here to talk about, as you said, the $1 billion tax increase that Coloradoans are going to be seeing on the ballot in November as Amendment 66. And a little bit of history about this bill. It's actually Senate Bill 13-213. The sponsors were Senator Mike Johnston, Senator Raleigh Heath, and Representative Millie Hamner. That should be your first clue right there. And this really is being tagged as, you know, this is the public school finance bill. This is going to help our children. This is what we need to increase, you know, our children's education benefits, when really it is an absolute boondoggle. We're talking about a Senate bill that is 142 pages long. It has got all kinds of, you know, ways that they're going to be shifting money around. And essentially the bottom line is this is a bill that was passed in the Senate in the 69th General Assembly, passed straight party line. No Republican voted for this bill. Now that it was passed as a bill, it comes out to the taxpayers on the November ballot. Since it is a tax increase and because of Tabor, it is up to the taxpayers to say yes or no. A $1 billion tax increase that is going to be thrown at our school systems. Jason, we have known for the last 40 years, statistics coming out of the Department of Education show that as we have increased our spending, our children's math, science, and writing scores have not increased. Throwing money at a broken system, and I like to call it the education industry. That's exactly what this is. This is not going to your children. It is not going to the classroom. This is going to fund your para. It's going to fund the administration. We actually have statistics that show student growth is at about 36%. Administrative growth is at 86%. How can you tell me that this $1 billion tax increase is going to be seen in the classroom?
And the amount of money going towards the kids and wind up with the teachers is just a pittance. It's how much again?
We are seeing that 36%, we see 36% student growth, 80% administration. What do you think? Where do you think that money is going to go? It's going to be going to the overhead, to the administrative. They actually have a program, a $6 million, they've extrapolated $6 million out of this $1 billion tax increase that is to go to an innovative program. Is what they're calling it, an innovative program. They're going to need $6 million to fund this innovative program. They need $300 million to implement the program. You tell me again, $1 billion tax increase, wow. And this is a tax increase that is in perpetuity. Every year we will see this increase in your taxes, your state income tax, and right now statistically it looks like you are going to be seeing anywhere from an 8 to a 27% increase in your income tax to fund this $1 billion tax increase that essentially is going to be going to the overhead, to the administration for our public school systems, when we know that is not going to increase our children's test scores. It's not for the children.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's going to be a lot of money thrown at this as well. I mean, the other side is projected to be doing, what, $10
million? Jason, you introduced this as a grassroots issues committee, which is exactly what it is. It's concerned parents, it's concerned taxpayers. We are just everyday people that work every day that are trying to get the word out to the local voter. We know for a fact that the $10 million that has already been put in to the campaign to promote this $1 billion tax increase, $250,000 is coming right out of the teachers' unions. This is what we're fighting. This is why I'm so glad to be here today, to be able to talk to your listeners and inform them about what is getting ready to happen on that November ballot. When they see yes or no on that Amendment 66, I encourage all of us, vote no. Quit throwing money at a system, at an industry that we know is broken.
Absolutely. Now, if people want to come out and work against this bill, if they want to, you know, step up and volunteer or put some money behind it, what's the best way for them to do that?
We actually have a website that people can go to. It is www.kidsnotpawns.org. We actually have a Facebook page, and I'm going to say our name again, and I know it's convoluted. Our Facebook page is Coloradoans Against Unions Using Kids as Pawns. You can also follow us on Twitter at Kids Not Pawns. And I encourage people, talk to your neighbor. If the only thing that you can say to your neighbor is, wow, have you heard about this $1 billion tax increase? That's going to be money out of my pocket. If the only bullet line is, why do they need more money? They aren't successful with the money that they have now. Why are we going to keep throwing money at a broken system? If that's the only thing that you talk to your neighbors about, I encourage you all to do that. In the state of Colorado, we have 7 counties that have an unemployment rate greater than 19%. 19%. Unemployment in 7 of our counties in Colorado, and we're going to go to the taxpayers and say, what little money you have, what little income you're getting, we want 8 to 27% of that. This is a progressive tax in the state of Colorado. This is unconscionable that our legislators, that our Democrat legislators, have passed and are now putting to the people. I encourage all of us, be engaged, know what we are getting. And that $10 million that you mentioned, Jason, that is going to be all kinds of ads. You're probably going to see little children that are crying because they can't get school supplies. Be strong. Understand the propaganda that they are giving to us. This is not how you fix our educational industry. It is not more money.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming out. We really appreciate you taking the time. And, keep fighting that good fight. Now, we do have...
Just to remind your listeners, Amendment 66 on the November ballot, vote no.
Vote no. And we will be coming out as the election gets closer and it comes to voting day. We will be talking more and more about this issue. We'll be getting more people on to explain to us why it really is so bad. So we'll keep you posted. Again, thank you so much. Now, there was also another event you wanted to mention coming up.
I encourage your listeners, the Heartland Institute, which is a huge think tank that talks about energy, healthcare policy, educational policy. I encourage you all, they are actually coming to Denver September the 7th. Heartland.org. If you go to their website, Emerging Issues, they've got national speakers that are going to be coming in talking to us about the actual, the feel for the nation and where we're headed with these different policies. That's the Heartland Institute, .org, going to be in Denver on September the 7th for an all-day seminar.
All righty. We'll try to make it out there. Again, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate you fighting this good fight. Debbie's been in the trenches for years now. You were on the executive board in the county here last go-around, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is now with the Independence Institute on the Issues Committee. So, again, thank you for your time, and thank you for standing up and doing the right thing.
Thanks, Jason. It's good to be here.
All right.
Thanks again to Debbie Healy for coming out and talking with us about that. We are hoping to get some educators on from the charter school system here in Larimer County coming up here in the next few weeks to talk about some of the impacts that this new bill might have upon the charter schools here in Larimer County. So keep your eye out for that. The things we have coming up this week, really it's just the Labor Day parade we've got coming up here in Wellington next weekend. If you're interested, we've got a few slots open possibly for you to come walk with us. It is limited numbers, so I'd suggest you call the Larimer GOP. You can go to our website at larimergop.org, get the phone number for the office and see if we've got any room for people to volunteer to walk with us and our elected officials. It's a great way to come down and meet us, see what we're doing, and maybe get involved. So hopefully we'll see you there. In the meantime, have a good week, and we will see you next time. Thanks again from Larimer County Republican Radio.